episode 230.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
This week on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, we talk to successful entrepreneur Rusty Debris about his eight-figure business journey and his pivot to coaching. All this and more on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
The Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend?
Broadcasting late at night from a little studio in the big state of Texas, your host, Mark Mason.
Hey, I am your host, Mark Mason, coming to you from the little studio in Dallas, Texas. I hope you're having an amazing week, and I hope you had the opportunity last week to catch my interview with Cliff Ravenscraft. That was episode 229. If you are considering being a coach or adding coaching to your current offerings, you definitely need to check out episode 229. Always, when I do something like episode 229, when I talk to some accomplished online business person like Cliff, who has spent years and years and years building a business, people have this self-doubt when they try and imagine themselves doing the same thing that Cliff is doing. And I'll tell you a couple of things about that. One is you should never, or try not to ever, compare yourself with other people. Comparison is the thief of joy, right? If you spend your time comparing yourself to other online entrepreneurs like Cliff, then you will constantly be falling short because you're at a totally different place than Cliff was when he started his journey. And really, the truth of the matter is, you don't really know anything about all the struggles and trials and tribulations and learning and hard work and things that Cliff has gone through to get where he is. In fact, to you, it probably just looks like Cliff snapped his fingers and got where he is today. I can assure you that is not the case, and it won't be the case for you, and that's okay. Remember, comparison's the thief of joy. You need to be careful about comparing yourself to other people. But the second thing I'll tell you is it is absolutely possible for you to do darn near anything that you want when it comes to starting a business online. Whatever you're doing today, you can pivot and change your life by starting an online business. And one such business that you can start is coaching. And you might be saying, well, I don't believe you, Mark. Show me an example. Well, I have an example for you today. My friend, Rusty Debris, who also plays on my softball team, he's a first baseman, is an accomplished entrepreneur. He's had some online businesses. He's had a service business, an eight-figure service business, as you'll learn. And now he's pivoting to coaching. And what I wanted to do is have Rusty on to tell his own story, because Rusty's at the very beginning of his journey. I think his mindset and outlook here is amazing. There's so much that you can learn from the way Rusty is approaching his coaching business. Let's hear from Rusty now.
Hey, don't touch that dial. It's time for another fantastic guest on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
All right, Rusty, thank you so much for being here today, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, sir. How about yourself?
I am doing great. You know, I've been talking a lot on the show. I know you get to listen to the show occasionally about coaching and what that's all about. You and I have been talking for years about your journey, and now you're really getting serious about your coaching business. And I thought my listeners would really enjoy hearing your story about transitioning into a life of coaching and helping people, lifting people up. So you up for that today?
Yes, sir. I'm excited. Let's do it.
All right. Fantastic. So let's start and set a little backstory. So I know that you were in the Air Force for a while. You went to college and then you started working on trying to establish some kind of business. And in fact, it was an online business. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're moving away from, this business that you're moving out of?
Yeah. So to give the little bit of backstory there, was a history major in college, came out of the Air Force, always had an entrepreneurial knack that tried different means to scratch over the years. And we actually had started, myself, and this was actually my brother-in-law and mutual business partner, started an online website to build wedding, wedding websites. And don't ask me, I don't know anything about weddings, but we figured that was a good market niche to go after.
So like wedding favors, like the little napkins and stuff like that. Is that what we're talking about?
I mean, almost all things wedding. So, it was actually called ehitch.com, which also probably doesn't, you probably have other connotations of what you might think ehitch would stand for. But it was a lot like, the knot.com or something like that today. So almost all things, wedding forums, articles, favors, or and selling different things like that. So we had a little bit of success there, and we're getting some progress. Nobody was paying anybody bills or anything like that. But one day, my business partner, Philip, he was a developer. And so he had this idea. It's like, hey, let's just go start selling websites. And so, yeah, we actually put some money into a place where we could buy leads, started calling companies, and built a little business, start selling websites, and grew that over the years. And long story short, started to make a decent name for ourselves here in the Dallas area, and sold for a pretty good chunk of change in 2017. And really just been running the business since, just trying to grow it and all things kind of going about the post-sale process. But
yeah. So let's break that down a little bit. I don't want to talk actual numbers, but I am interested in some of the details there. So you wanted to start this website business because you had some development capability. Your brother-in-law was a bit of a developer at the time. And so you bought leads. Can you talk a little bit about how that process worked and how you converted that into sales?
Yeah. So, been so long now. I'm really lucky, to be honest, to have found this avenue we had found. I think maybe there were some other things out there I don't even know about today where you could actually do something like this. So interestingly enough, the company he had worked for, they ranked really well for a lot of web design related terms. And so they just got all this influx of leads that they just didn't want to mess with. And so they created this little portal that we knew about because he worked at this company. And so it was a little bit he actually used a different name when we were calling sales because he didn't want the connection back to him.
Sure. Yeah. A little anonymity there. I get that.
Which caused for some interesting stories later on when we didn't need to kind of have that obscurity anymore. But just started buying leads, and these are people that already showed interest in web design. So it was somewhat while they hadn't heard of us or knew they were going to be talking to us, they were interested in getting a website of some sort. So we started making up prices and saying, right, selling way more than we probably ever should have for what we were doing for the work. But got enough to get him to move on from his developer job and make a real business out of it.
So it's literally two guys with a side hustle, building websites on a side, paying for leads, scrapping, doing the thing. And then fast forward, how many years ago was that now? How long ago were you guys starting that business?
15 years. I can't honestly believe it.
So fast forward a decade and a half, and now you sell that business. And like I said, I don't really want to talk numbers, but can you give us an idea of the size of the business now? Like how many developers, how many clients, can you tell me something about the size of it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we got to about a little shy of 10 million in revenue, probably at our best.
Okay. There's about, a number, 10 yeah. million in revenue. Okay.
Yeah, there very you go. Good. And, yes. And about 40 or so team members. Just slowly over the years, growing it to that.
So you built from nothing an 8-figure business. That's the really the bottom line. And you know, that's just the revenue number. And as we know, when we go to sell these things, the price that you get for these things is based on the revenue. And so this is a really nice transition for you that you've decided to make. I mean, you're walking away from an 8-figure business that you decided to sell. A lot of people right now that are listening to this show are scratching their heads going, what is this guy doing walking away from this kind of business? Can you talk a little bit about what makes a guy walk away from an 8-figure business?
Yeah. So, you know, I think ultimately what it comes down to, and even a little more backstory here. So I didn't have a particular trade or skill that brought me into, you know, the web design industry. I always joke, if my brother-in-law had been a plumber, I would have ended up in the plumbing business. So I don't know if I could have built an 8-figure plumbing business or not. So there's one thing that's, you know, I was all about the business. You know, how do we have a great culture? How do we have great people? And how do I build it that way? And so what we're selling at the end of the day, to be quite honest, didn't matter to me as much. I wasn't necessarily, like, if I'm being truly honest, I wasn't passionate about the web design. I was passionate about helping clients. I was passionate about having a great team. So I think it just got to the point where, you know, I think I did all I could do in that space. I was happy with the culture and the team that the company built. And I think it's kind of one of those times, like, you get to a point and say, you know, I think there's some other people that can fill these shoes as good or better even than I can, and that are passionate about this space. And so what's my next passion? What's something I will feel challenged with and kind of my next growth phase and journey in my life or career, or however you want to look at that.
Okay. That's amazing. So a lot of things to unpack there, but I think the most interesting thing is you started to recognize that the things that drive you and get you excited, you'd kind of been there and done that. And now you're looking for the next thing. And one of the things that you mentioned over and over again in that description is culture and team and just, you know, building up a thing that it has to do with the people around you and winning. You know, that's what I took away from that. And I assume now that, you know, as this episode is all about coaching, you've started this coaching business, and that's part of what that's going to be. Can you tell us, you know, what your vision is for this new business that you're transitioning to?
Yeah. So in my own business journey, I like to think of it as there was a time when we sucked really bad. And then there was a time where we figured it out and, you know, got really good at what we did. Again, on the team side and even on the delivery side. So I learned a lot of trial by fire through that. And I think I've always just had a natural passion for coaching. So whether that's, you know, 5-year-olds on a soccer field or my son wrestling or whatever that is, I really just enjoy helping others. And so kind of when I was looking at the next phase of my own journey, it was, all right, I've built all this experience. I've got a long list of things you shouldn't do and a decent list of things you should do. So how can I go help other business owners, you know, achieve this level of success that I got to, or even better, with also a lot less stress and headache in the process. And one other tidbit there, we had a coach in our business for probably 7 or 8 years. That I'll say was absolutely instrumental in our growth. And so, you know, kind of the, what's the old, commercial adage. I'm not only a hair club president, I'm also a client. I just believe in the power of coaching and, you know, want as many people as possible to have that.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I think that's a question that I've asked before of coaches that have approached me as well. Do you pay for coaching? Right. And, no. You know, or do you eat your own dog food, sort of, is what we say here in Texas. So yeah, I totally resonate with that. I love the fact, to me, that sort of approach or that way to think about that allows for so much integrity, because not only are you teaching something or coaching around something that you've done successfully and that you're passionate about, but one of the reasons that you had that success from your point of view was the coaching that you accepted. And so I think that's awesome, but it's got to be scary, right? So again, we're walking away in some ways from an 8-figure business. No doubt they paid you well in that role, you know, as a founder of that company. So that's a serious financial decision to go pursue the next passion. And it must feel like there's some risk there. Can you talk a little bit about that sort of internal thing that you feel as you go to make these scary decisions?
Yeah. I mean, it's a night and day difference, I think, from a business. I mean, I'm using a lot of the expertise and skills and knowledge I've built, but you know, I'm going from a team of 40 to a team of one. So I'm literally having to go do everything that, you know, I had a lot of help to do before. And, you know, I think a big impetus, and I've been telling this to a lot of folks, for me was a quote by Ray Dalio in his book Principles. And it was, I'll butcher this a little bit, but it was something to the effect of, you can stay on this side of the river and have a good life and, you know, probably not be, you know, not remiss or remorse about it. Or you can cross the river in kind of the unknown, scary jungle and have a great life. And so that's kind of where I knew where I was sitting at, and I could coast, you know, until someday I just figured I don't need to do anything from a career perspective whatever, or I could go challenge myself and figure out a new business and something I'm really passionate about. And, you know, not only from a, you know, hopefully, you know, there's some, I can make this work from a monetary perspective, but even just a fulfilling, you know, rewarding perspective in terms of the type of work I'm doing. But no doubt there are days that a few times here that I wake up in the morning and I'm like, what the heck did you do?
Yeah, I really like that book. I want to recommend that book to people that are listening. So the Dalio book, Ray Dalio, it's called Principles, Life and Work. And not only does he talk about this jungle metaphor in the book, he says this other thing that resonates with me when I think of your story. He says, if you're not failing, you're not pushing your limits. And if you're not pushing your limits, you're not maximizing your potential. And so, I mean, one of the big ideas in the book is really to work out on the edge of your comfort zone. It sounds like you're clearly doing that right now. It's, you know, it would have been really easy to stay at your current company and just kind of be retired in place and keep cashing checks, right?
Yeah. And that's exactly right. I mean, right. I think for so many years, I've really never done a lot of business development or sales. You know, it's very internally focused, a lot of recruiting and hiring and all things operations. But, you know, that alone, right. I'm going out and having conversations and trying to, you know, figure out ways to market and promote myself that I've just really never had to focus on before. And so that in itself, right, is a challenge. And then dusting off some old skill sets that I haven't done in 13, 14 years. It just, or the things that go along with starting a new business. It's pretty reinvigorating. So the mornings I wake up, what the hell did I do here? I immediately think back and think of all the things that I haven't done ever or in a long time that are really fun.
Yeah. I think, you know, you touched on, you know, getting out there and finding clients. And when we talk to people about coaching, one of the things that we hear, one of the objections that you hear from new coaches or people who are considering coaching is, yeah, I'm a great coach. I think I can coach, but I don't know where I'm going to find clients. And I'm sure that was one of your first questions too, is where are these clients going to come from? Can you talk a little bit about that client discovery process and sort of what your experience has been as you've started this journey?
Yeah. So I think I probably fell into the trap, to be honest. And these are all things I know in the back of my head, but it's funny just jumping back into this, just falling into some of the old traps of, well, I've got a great story. Certainly everybody's going to want to work with me. So as soon as I'm put my for hire sign or open to the market sign, you know, they're just going to come crashing in. And I learned real fast that wasn't going to happen. And so for me, the journey's been a lot. I think some to my natural personality is, hey, the real goal, and I'm trying to talk to folks, is just provide value and share what I'm going to do more through story than through the practical application of, you know, this is the step 1, 2, 3. But what the big help I think has been, and this is what I fought a little bit in the early stages, was just really getting niche in my positioning. So I think when I first started, it was, you know, I'm going to focus on any business owner, but really maybe service. Maybe I'll limit myself to service-based business owners, but that's still such a gamut of potential clients. But as I found when, you know, when I was talking to people that had been in the same space as me, you know, creative marketing agencies, those sort of things, I was just able to rattle off so much more value to that person in a short amount of time that I was like, all right, I need to really embrace this and focus my niche on particularly the background I came from, because that's where I have the most experience. That's where I can provide the most impact. And it makes bringing those conversations to the table 10 times easier than me trying to convince someone how to match up what I do. And likewise, my credibility within that the space as well was a lot tougher conversation.
Yeah. So a lot of people are afraid to niche down in whatever business that they're doing because they're afraid that's going to make the pool of clients so small that they won't have enough people to choose from. Has that been your experience, or sounds like maybe it's been quite the opposite?
Oh, I mean, the second I did that, the relief was like, okay, I know exactly what circles I need to go play in. I can build a list of these exact names of people that are my ideal clients. That's a manageable list that I can go target those specific people. So it's made all things. And right as I'm writing content, I can think of that one particular individual versus trying to think what's a really broad statement that might catch the most. So almost, yeah, to your point that so many people fought it. I fought it. But when I think of, like, again, going back to something like writing content, I can speak to that one individual that I know their pain points. I know exactly, you know, what they probably want on the other side of it. And I also know the gaps in between on how to get there. So for me, it's made work 10 times easier. And just in terms of how I approach those people, who I am approaching and what circles I'm going to play in.
Yeah. So without naming any of your confidential clients, take me through what a typical process would be, starting from finding the person, having an initial conversation, and then closing some kind of coaching arrangement. Can you kind of walk us through what that would look like, you know, for your next client, for example, what you would expect?
Yeah, it's a pretty, you know, I thought too, a sales process needs to be really complicated, and maybe different types of industries, or depending on what you're selling, it maybe needs to be. But in my particular case, it's really just about an introduction and just getting someone kind of comfortable with a little bit about background and just kind of who I am, right? Because a coaching relationship is that it's a relationship, and people certainly need to feel comfortable with me. So that's really phase one. And then step two, I just try to break that down into, all right, maybe you like me enough here. And let me just sit down and what I'm calling like an alignment session. And I'm going to try to uncover as much as I can and about your business in an hour and a half. And that, you know, the ultimate goal is that I'll give you 2 to 3 nuggets that are just my perspective and take on it. And you got some value out of that conversation, regardless of wherever the coaching relationship goes. And so through that and kind of telling stories about my own experience and how I've helped others and then giving them those nuggets, they get a taste for what a long-term coaching relationship might be like. And so it's basically comes down to, do you want more of that? Or is it not the right time? Am I not the right fit based upon your own needs and wants? And then, you know, we'll see that where that conversation goes. And then another approach that I've just taken that is because I believe in the power of coaching so much. If people don't want my services or what I do, where can I, you know, my next goal is get it somewhere. You know, if you want a mentor group, you mastermind group, if you want to, you know, we find you a different coach, I'll do that for you. But hopefully you've seen the power of coaching and that you want that from somewhere.
So it sounds to me like if I were to phrase that a different way and summarize it, you start out in the relationship trying to help somebody, trying to figure out how you can help somebody and actually helping them. And then if that's a good experience for everyone involved, then maybe a business relationship comes out of the back end of that. But you're leading with this sort of service mentality. Have I got that right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think one of the things that's even been helpful for that is, is relationships are good too, but also not being afraid to challenge maybe what their mindset is or their thinking. So, because if they knew how to solve their problems, they wouldn't be looking for me or even be entertaining a conversation with me. So it's setting up a relationship, but also a relationship based upon, to your point, I'm here to help and I'm not just here to be your best friend. I'm here to challenge you and make you better.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Rusty, I know you're incredibly busy, so I'm not going to keep you much longer. I did have a couple more questions for you. One is, how about we make a plan? Since you're just starting out on this journey, how long have you been coaching in earnest here? It's just been a few months, really, right? Less than half a year, I think.
Yeah, probably I'd say 3 or 4 months of really giving it my solid attention.
Okay, so great. So first thing I'd like to get from you is a commitment that in a year or two, or whenever this thing blows up for you and you're ready to come back and talk to us again, that you come back on the show and we talk about that journey and all of the amazing success that you've had. Can we do that?
I can commit to that. I'd love nothing more than to do that.
Okay. And then the other thing I wanted to ask you is how people can find out more about what you're doing, because in doing some research for this interview, I looked at your website. It's very impressive looking. It's got some good content there already. And not only that, not only do I think it's a great example for people who are thinking about going down a path like this, but I also think there might be some creatives that are listening to this episode that could use your help. And so if that's them, if your voice has spoken to them in that way, where can they find you?
Yeah. So, you can certainly find me on my website. Performance Faction is, the business I'm running, and performancefaction.com is my website. You can always find me on LinkedIn, Russell Dubree, Russell with one L. That's a unique spelling for the name Russell. And happy to connect and chat with anyone, share. I love sharing war stories on the entrepreneurial journey and just kind of talking shop like that with folks. So, absolutely reach out and just have a conversation. That's really my goal of I set for the year is 500 conversations with folks. And, that's already been such a fascinating journey in of itself. So I love a good conversation.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. I love that. So the last question that I have for you is, if there is someone who's listening to this and who is thinking about coaching, they feel like they would be good at it. They feel like they have something to offer people. They feel like they can get out there and help people, but they're just hesitating. They're not sure. What is your advice for them?
I think so far as my own lesson journey of know exactly who you want to help. What is that person's status or whatever, who is that person, and really go through kind of all the avatar type mentality of thinking about that person. And then what's the very specific solution that you're going to be really good at helping that person with. And then, you know, I think those two things are really important. And then the other side is, you know, part of being a great coach is not only the knowledge you have, but how do you get the best out of other people? So it's easy for me to give advice sometimes, but how do I get that person to give themselves advice?
Craft
the conversation in that manner. So I think that's a hard art. That is not an easy thing to do. And I'm not even close to nearing mastering that art. And I've got a lot of work to do in that, but I think that's all just centered around, and you pointed it out earlier, of helping people, start helping people and get really freaking good at helping people.
Awesome. Russell with one L, thank you very much. I really appreciate your time today. I hope you have an awesome day, and I really look forward to talking to you down the road about your 8-figure coaching business. That'll be awesome, wouldn't it?
I look forward to it as well. Thank you, Mark. I love the show. I love everything you do for the entrepreneurs out there. So really appreciate you having me on today.
Okay, that was amazing. And as I said, there's so much for you to learn from Rusty. Rusty is a guy who's got the right mindset. He's leveraging his life experience. Your life experience will be different. Rusty's leveraging his to start his coaching business. I hope this story from Rusty inspires you to realize that you can do whatever you want to do. That's really the message here. It's not that you need to compare yourself to Rusty or list all the advantages that Rusty has that you don't have. The message is, here's a random guy on my softball team who's clearly on his way to starting a six or probably even seven figure coaching business. I'm excited for Rusty, and I'm excited to talk to him in a year or two to prove the point that you can do this too, because Rusty's doing it. And when it comes down to it, Rusty's no different than you. You can do great things. If this podcast has been helpful to you, I would love it if you would smash the like button on whatever podcast tool you're using to listen to this show. Or if there's a subscribe button, hit that subscribe button. It doesn't cost you anything. It just means that future episodes will be directly delivered to your device as if by magic. See you next week.
You can do it right when it's late at night.
You've been listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Be sure to visit LNIMpodcast.com today to leave feedback for Mark.
Download special bonus content, access the show notes, and more. See you there.
Until then, go and make some great progress on your internet business, one night at a time.
Building your business, one night at a time.
Okay, so Rusty, as you know, we have this after the show thing. I think a lot of people know about this now, but this has been going on for years. And I usually don't have people on after the show. I think maybe you're the only second person to stick around after the show. So I wanted to, because I know some stories we can tell. One of them is I wanted you to talk more about this wedding favors business, because I know years ago you told me this story about how you guys had what really is a total online e-commerce disaster occur with this business. And I was wondering if you could tell me that story.
Yeah, this might be my worst moment in business, period. And that's really probably saying a lot too. So, we had the website up and running, selling favors and stuff like that, relatively smooth operation. But you know, like web developers and want to do it, we're rebuilding our own website in the background. Well, you know, earlier days of the internet, we didn't necessarily maybe 100% understand how search engines work. So we had a test environment for this e-commerce site where we were rebuilding it all. And that started showing up in Google search rankings. A couple months into it, just kind of pull into the site one day, and the test site is, we're getting ready to launch it, and I noticed there's all these orders in there.
Oh no.
And I'm like, well, how did these get here? And so some investigative work turns out that, yeah, the site had been in search rankings and people were coming in placing orders, and we weren't charging any credit cards, so we didn't see anything like that, but they could go through the full process without getting checked, I guess you could say. And so anyway, I had to start making some phone calls about how these products that some brides-to-be, in most cases, weren't going to get because that order wasn't real. And there were a couple conversations there where the wedding was pretty close. And I felt absolutely horrible. There's no amount of apologizing you can do in that situation. There's no really making it right. We tried to make it as right as we possibly could. That was rough. That was a really rough moment. So note to kids out there, turn off your, put on your no follow tags for your test websites.
No doubt. Okay. So then the other thing I wanted to let, you know, people a little bit behind the curtain. So you and I have been playing softball together, I guess, now for almost a decade, like 200 and something games. So you play first base. I was wondering if you had any fun softball stories that you wanted to share or recount any softball greatness.
I mean, there's always the time that you got hit by the screamer of a ball from old number 33. I don't know if that's too
dramatic. I think that was good. Actually, so I guess that was years ago. So yeah. I guess That was, I was standing on third base. I don't know. What was your perspective of that?
So, I mean, it all happened so fast, right? Big 33, right? He's a big guy, steps up to the plate, and this guy only hits it within about 10 feet of the third baseline, no matter what's going on. And poor you was sitting in the danger zone, and he just hit the screamer right down the line. And all I hear is kind of a yell and I look and see, you kind of turning and then just can't even imagine the amount of pain that you had to be in to eat that one. I don't know if it got you right in the glutes or the thigh or where it hit you, but that was a very lesson learning moment for me on kind of when I'm at third base and what to look out for there.
Yeah, when I'm coaching youth baseball, I make sure that people stay foul. That's the rule in baseball, because if you're on third base and the ball's coming at you and you get hit, if you're in foul territory, you're fine.
Yeah.
And you can run away. But I was not in foul territory. I was not really paying attention. And so all I could do was really rotate. And you're right, it did hit me right in the glute. And I had a bruise on my glute, which I proudly showed off for weeks. But I think the funny thing was, it hurt so badly. I had out in the parking lot after the game, I actually was confused about who hit me. I actually accused another guy on the team of being at bat and hitting me when it was actually our buddy Matt, number 33. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Good times, sorry, man. Good times.
I'm glad to see that's the worst of your injuries over the decade or so.
Yeah, I mean, it's hasn't been right. We've had blown calves and all kinds of. I blew out my MCL. It's I think I'm almost at the end of my softball career. Eventually, I'm gonna exceed the maximum age here. But all right, brother. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Now it's your turn. What action are you going to take to build your business?
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing, actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me. In 2007, when I was trying to get started, there were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet, and I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explain to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late night internet marketing.